In the autumn of 1959, shy Todd Anderson began his senior year of high school at Welton Academy, an all-male elite prep school. On the first day of classes, Anderson and his friends are surprised by the unorthodox teaching methods of new English teacher John Keating, a Welton alumnus who encourages his students to make your lives extraordinary and to seize the day, carpe diem. He tells them that they can call him Professor Keating if they want to, or they could call him my captain, referring to a Walt Whitman poem about Abraham Lincoln. Subsequent lessons from Keating include having his students take turns standing on his desk to teach them that they need to occasionally look at the world from a different viewpoint. He also invites them to make up their own style of walking out in the school courtyard one day to encourage them to be individuals. His methods begin to attract the attention of the strict headmaster, Gail Nolan. While Professor Keating is so charismatic and so caring and so inspiring that as time goes on, he convinces a good share of these teenage boys taking his class that poetry is actually cool, and they form a secret, unauthorized club called the Dead Poet Society. One of the members of this club, Neil, while following the encouragement of his professor to discover his talents and be his own person and live an extraordinary life, runs smack dab into his domineering father, who disapproves of this new Neil. He withdraws his son from Welton Academy and instead enrolls him in a military academy, and rather than complying, Neil commits suicide. Neil's death, among other things, brings the full attention and ire of the headmaster onto the Dead Poet Society. One of the members of the society blames Neil's death on Professor Keating in order to escape punishment for his own participation in the club, and then he names all the other members of the club. Each of those boys is called to the headmaster's office to sign a letter attesting to the truth of these allegations against Professor Keating, though they know they are false. And when Todd Anderson's turn comes, he's reluctant to sign, but he does so after seeing that the others have complied. Keating is, of course, unjustly fired then, and as he cleans out his belongings from his office, Headmaster Nolan takes over teaching his class, and that leads us to this scene.
Read. Understanding Poetry by Dr. J. Evans Pritchard, Ph.D. To fully understand poetry, we must first be fluent with its meter, rhyme, and figures of speech. Then ask two questions. One, how artfully has the objective of the poem been rendered? And two, how important is that objective? Question one rates the poem's perfection. Question two rates its importance. And once these questions have been answered, determining the poem's greatness becomes a relatively simple matter. If the poem score for perfection is plotted on the horizontal of a graph...
Mr. Keating, they made everybody sign it.
Mr. Anderson.
You gotta believe me, it's true.
I do believe you, Tom.
Leave, Mr. Keating.
But it wasn't his fault.
Sit down, Mr. Anderson. One more outburst from you or anyone else, and you're out of this school. Leave, Mr. Keating. I said leave, Mr. Keating.
Captain, my captain.
Sit down, Mr. Anderson. Do you hear me? Sit down. Sit down. This is your final warning, Anderson. How dare you? Do you hear me?
Oh, Captain, my captain.
Mr. Overstreet, I warn you. Sit down. Sit down, all of you. I want you seated. Sit down. Leave, Mr. Keating.
Thank you, boys. Thank you.
And there were no dry eyes in the place. One of the best scenes in the movies, Dead Poet Society. So I wonder, have you ever had a teacher who influenced you so substantially that it maybe changed your direction in life, maybe even altered your outlook on life. Maybe it wasn't a teacher. Has there been anyone else in your life in a leadership position who you had such deep respect for that you would have followed that person anywhere they wanted to take you? Maybe a coach or a parent or a grandparent. Imagine the American president that you most have admired. What if one day that president had come to you and asked you to do something for him? I mean, you would have agreed to that in a second, right? What if Billy Graham called you on the phone and had something for you to do? I mean, I'm talking about someone that you have great respect for here. So much so that you, like the students in Professor Keating's class, would even risk punishment to stand up for that person and to follow them. If we lived in the science fiction world, it would be Captain Picard. Right? I mean, wouldn't you just jump to follow that guy, Jen? That one's for you, Jen Nyflat. Well, we've reached the final sermon on our study of the biblical book of Proverbs today, and the thought from Proverbs that I want to leave with you as we wrap this up is this idea of tremendous respect, deep respect. We've looked into this book for tips on how to live wisely. And the last piece of advice for wise living from Proverbs for you today centers on this concept of deep respect. I wonder if you've ever heard a person say that they got turned off to Christianity at some point because all they ever heard about was fire and brimstone and judgment and guilt. Maybe they grew up with an image of God as being angry and vengeful, a God who was just looking for an opportunity to smite somebody. Perhaps this person would have heard this phrase a time or two back when they did attend church, the phrase, "Fear the Lord." Well, if you've actually spent time studying the Bible, you will know that this potential person we're talking about here has an inaccurate view of God, the God that is described in the pages of the Bible. Now, don't get me wrong, the God of the Bible is just and will judge. He has a standard that he insists upon, and he will eventually use his full power to enforce it. And his is the power, by the way, that created the universe, so we really should have a little healthy fear of this God, I think. The biblical God, the true God. But this true God is more than just that. He is the author of all good things, of laughter and music and beauty and joy. He's a loving God. In fact, God is love. It comes from him. He's a gracious God, forgiving those who would turn to him. He's a redeemer, the one who is seeking to correct this mess that we human beings have got ourselves into. And his love and his grace for humanity is so great that he sent his own son into the world to be beaten and spit upon and killed on a cross in order that we, those who would choose to, could be saved from hell and brought to heaven when we die. So certainly the person who grew up hearing only about a God who is always angry, a God we should live in fear of, that person was given an inadequate picture of what the Bible teaches about who God is. Let's go back to that phrase I mentioned just a second ago, fear the Lord. I need to tell you that phrase means more than what you would first think as you come across it in the Bible. And here is something else that maybe this potential person we're talking about wasn't taught in their days in the church when they were hearing about the scary, angry God. According to Brown Driver Briggs Lexicon, the Hebrew word that is translated in our Bibles as fear in that phrase, fear the Lord, it can mean fear as we understand it, it can, but it primarily means reverence. Reverence. And what does reverence mean? Reverence means having a deep respect for someone or something. And the dictionary gives synonyms like this, high esteem, high regard, great respect, admiration. So that's the fuller understanding of what the phrase fear the Lord means. It means having a deep respect for God. We've looked over our last seven sermons at various tips from wise King Solomon from ancient Israel on how to live wisely. And we've seen his thoughts about how to go about reacting to people when they want to give you advice or correction. We've seen his thoughts on how we are to go about offering advice and correction to people. We've read Solomon's warning about four things that can derail your life: sex and alcohol and cheating and harboring a desire to harm someone. We heard him over and over again tell us to be hard workers and to show love to those who are not following God with their lives, even love to those who have set themselves up as our enemies. Finally, last week, we looked at Proverbs' perspective on money, and we heard the call to be generous givers of our resources. Well, today, we look at the backbone message of this book, what lies at the center of all of Solomon's instructions on wise living, and we can see that backbone message to us in the final line of the opening seven verses of the book, which are the purpose statement of the book. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." If you want to live wisely in your years on this earth, you need to understand, says Proverbs, that the foundation of that effort, the beginning of such a pursuit, lies in developing a deep respect for God. Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Here's 3, verse 7. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." And chapter 14, 26. "Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress. For their children it will be a refuge." 15:33. "Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord." 19:23. "The fear of the Lord leads to life." And so on and so on. Solomon is telling us that the foundation of wise living is having a deep respect for the Creator God. The foundation of wise living is having a deep respect for the Creator God. So let's remember again now that the people that kind of flashed through our heads as I was asking you to think about individuals in your life who you have had a deep respect for in the past. Well, your high esteem of them ought to be even greater than that for God. It ought to surpass that for God. Instead of your favorite teacher or coach or president or Billy Graham calling you and asking you to do something for them, imagine now the resurrected Jesus asking you to do something for him. I would guess you have a pretty significant level of respect for Jesus. Would you jump if he said jump? Definitely. Well, guess what? Jesus has asked us to do a few things. You see, that respect that we have for these few human beings we've been thinking about today, it naturally leads us into feelings of belief and trust in those people, and it leads us into a desire to follow them and to do the things that they ask of us. So likewise, if you really have a deep respect for Jesus and for God within you, then that respect should also naturally be leading you into feelings of belief and trust in God and into a desire to do what he asks of you. And once again, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Trust and obedience. These are the behaviors that will naturally come from us if we have a deep respect for God within our hearts. Just like we might have been willing to trust and follow Captain Picard to the ends of the galaxy if we lived in science fiction land. So we will trust God in this life to the ends of the earth. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, like some of our nearby brothers and sisters in Christ have been experiencing lately, even in the most difficult of circumstances, you know Jesus, and you trust his heart, and you trust his words. You can hold on to your trust in him, and he'll pull you through. You'll be pulled through the hard times because you heeded the call to live wisely and you fashioned within yourself a deep respect and a deep trust in God. Proverbs 19:23, "The fear of the Lord leads to life." And then, One rests content, untouched by trouble. You can lean on your trust in God when hard times come. And we will obey God to the ends of the earth when we respect him deeply, even if it means having to take the hard road instead of the easy road, even if it means having to battle against tempting desires, even if it means that we might be looked down upon by some, even if it means that we would face the threat of persecution, we obey. Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. We obey. And if I can borrow from the Psalms, Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding. That's talking about obedience. And if I can borrow from Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, fear God and keep his commandments. So these things all go hand in hand. A deep respect for God is going to show itself in trust and obedience. So everybody, respect for God leads to trust in him and obedience to him, and that leads to wise living. And wise living, according to Proverbs, leads to health and to a secure fortress. We saw that a minute ago. Security. It leads to hope for the future, here and in the next life. See Proverbs 23:17. Always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. And wise living leads to life. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. And then chapter 6:23 says, these commands are a lamp, this teaching is a light, and the corrections of discipline are the way to life. Well, each human being, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, has been given a choice, right? We are each allowed to choose to respect God, to trust and obey him, or we can choose to go our own way and ignore or reject him. When people are not following God's path, when they're not pursuing God, what are they pursuing typically? Maybe wealth and comfort. Maybe pleasure. Maybe popularity. Well, we've seen over the course of this sermon series what Proverbs has to say about pursuing wealth and pleasure. What about popularity? Chapter 29, verse 25, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. If you're putting your trust in human beings and in popularity, that's quite an insecure foundation for your life to be built upon. Chapter 31, verse 30 says, charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Yeah, don't choose the pursuit of popularity over the pursuit of God. All roads that are going elsewhere than the one that God would have you on, all those roads lead to death. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And for those who reject her, wisdom personified here says in chapter 1, verse 29, too late they will call out to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and they did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and they spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and the complacency of fools will destroy them. We've each been given a choice to follow God in the path to life or to reject or to ignore God and follow the path to death. Choose God. Revere him and fear him, submit to him. This is wisdom. The foundation of wise living is having a deep respect for the Creator God. Well, let's say that you want that. You want a deep respect for the Creator God, and you're wondering now, well, how can I grow in my respect for the Lord? Well, I think what you need to do is you need to seek him and you need to experience him to grow that respect within you. And the most obvious way to seek the Lord and experience him is by reading the word that he has left for us that explains who he is and what his ways are. Each day, carve out some significant time to study the Word. Study the words of Jesus. My goodness, if there was ever a person to have deep respect for and to follow, it's Jesus Christ. Read and study the whole Bible. And the more you dedicate yourself to this task, I believe the more your respect for Jesus and for God will grow. You need to experience God in life. You need to be praying on a regular basis. Reserve time for prayer. You need to obey Him if you want to experience Him. Look at this verse from Jesus. He said, if you hold to my teaching, if you obey me, that has to happen first. Then you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So that's kind of interesting, isn't it? The obedience maybe has to happen first, and then you begin to see Him and watch Him work in your life, and your respect for Him will grow. And you can be confident in this, because the Bible teaches that if you really search for Him, you will find Him. Proverbs 8:17, those who seek me, find me. But I have to tell you, the Bible's not talking about a casual search here. If you want to find Him, you're going to have to get after it. Look at a key passage for us today. Proverbs 2, first five verses says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight, and if you cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as you would look for silver and search for it as you would for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So you got it? If you want to pursue God and develop your respect for Him in your life so that you can live wisely, then call out for Him and cry aloud for Him. Look and search like you would look for treasure, and then you'll find Him. He wants to be found. God gave Solomon, so the Bible tells us, tremendous wisdom, right? Well, do you want to learn from him today? Then look at how seriously he tells us to take this search for God, the pursuit of developing a deep reverence for God. Proverbs 4:4 says, take hold of God's wisdom with all of your heart. And a few verses later, though it cost all that you have, get wisdom, cherish her, embrace her. Chapter 3:21, do not let God's wisdom and understanding out of your sight. I like this one, 23:23, buy the truth and don't sell it. 6:20, bind the commands of God always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. And 7:1, bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. The foundation of wise living is having a deep respect for God, and so pursue God with all of your energy. Seek after him, call out to him, obey him, and as you seek God with all your heart, you will begin to experience him. It's promised to us in Scripture, and that deep respect for your Creator will grow within you. And so we end this sermon series on Proverbs right where we began it, on the theme of one of my favorite passages in the Bible, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, obey him, and he will direct your paths. Trust and obey, he will direct your paths in life. The writer of Ecclesiastes put it this way. The writer was also probably Solomon. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now all has been heard, and here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. It's the foundation. It's a short life that we live in this world. Who are you going to follow in it? You're going to follow yourself? A great teacher you once had? A coach? A politician? A spaceship captain? Well, how about Jesus of Nazareth? How about the God who created you and loves you? If you choose in your life to seek after God with your full heart as though you were pursuing silver and treasure, If you cherish him and embrace him, if you don't let him out of your sight, if you buy the truth and you don't sell it, if you bind his words on your fingers and write them on the tablets of your hearts, then you will develop within you a deep respect for God, which will lead to trust and obedience, which will lead to health and security and a future hope and a fountain of life. And then when the circumstances of life try to pull you under, or the world tries to tempt you to follow other paths, or even if someone would come up to you and tell you to curse Jesus or I'm going to shoot you, you will know in those moments who you follow. And you will find within yourself the courage at that point to stand up on your desk and to shout to Jesus Christ, "Oh, Captain, my Captain." Amen. Develop a deep respect for God within yourself. This is wise living. Amen.